All right, here we go. The fastest hour in hockey coming up. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, Jake the Snake Schultz. We are live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary, Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet Plus. We are everywhere. The side of the building. Well, maybe not.
Yeah, we don't advertise.
I contemplated.
We're available everywhere.
I contemplated whether or not I was going to take my raincoat off because that's how fast this hour is.
Yeah, I know. It's a blink. They've been a blink. So, and we got lots of content today, too.
It feels like it's been forever since we
talked. How long has it been since we've had a show? 10 years?
At least the Blue Jays won. If they're going to knock us off the air, we don't ask for much, but win the stinking game.
Wish you had hit one a center?
The Jays would be an excellent baseball team if they played the White Sox every night. They would be
helpful.
They would be one of the best teams in the league.
Did you hear Bassett after the game, his interview about how he pitched? He's like, I'll be honest, I got lucky. Like I tried to throw strikes and they missed him.
Well, he had a bad neck and he was throwing cookies.
Yeah.
And they were bad. So
all right. Well, in a few minutes, we're gonna welcome in Eddie Olchuk, hockey analyst with TNT in Edmonton, covering last night's game. We'll start there because you watched two different versions of the Edmonton Oilers. The one that they looked like all world to start the game in the first period, and then I don't know what happened. So, JB, I'll just throw this out to you just to start this. If, in fact, things don't go well the rest of the way for the Edmonton Oilers, are we going to look back at last night's Jekyll and Hyde first and second period and go, that was the issue?
Yeah, I think so, Kip. I mean, that start of the second period, Dallas scored three times before the Oilers got a shot. So I did a project for Ice Tilt. There's going to be an article on it tomorrow, which basically shows how Dallas has often got caved in the first like that, but comes out in the second like gangbusters. So it's one of those cliche, got to play 60 minutes thing, but boy, did they shut her down.
Yeah.
The second there.
That stretch of hockey from the start of the second onward was some pretty dominant hockey from the Stars. I thought
Ruben
that was,
Hintz makes a world.
Yeah, he's a very good player, and it turns out he's maybe their best player. And having your best player really helps, and obviously it helped Jason Robertson get his hat trick last night. But man, they were dominant for the second period, and that's what the Stars look like when they're good. And if I'm an Oilers fan waking up today, wouldn't say I'm feeling too great heading into Game 4.
No.
Is it just a philosophy from the Oilers side where they... There's no team on the planet, I don't care what league you're in or what level you're at, that doesn't want a great start.
Of course.
So that's great. But when you watch it over the body of work over 60 minutes, like you said moments ago, is the thought that we're going to come out and hit the knockout punch early here?
Yeah.
And I almost use a boxing...
My article uses boxing analogy
boxing.
As well.
Are you coming out to hit the knockout punch in the first and second round, and not thinking about stretching this thing out if you need to go when my days growing up was 15 12. Rounds.
Yeah.
15.
Oh, my 15. God. That's so much boxing.
That's
right?
Way too many
45
rounds.
45 minutes
and
into boxing.
Like, are we not worrying about the later rounds if we're just going out for the knockout punch?
No, I could not agree with you more on that assessment. Dallas is something that you've often talked about on our show, which is they seem comfortable in uncomfortable situations. They're fine being in a 1-2 goal game, hang around. They trust their goaltender to make those saves when it's close, and they trust that they've got enough guys that'll find a way. And it did feel like rope-a-dope, which, you know, the first period it was like, okay, give me your best punch. We're just going to take it. And, you know, second period had a little bit of water and regrouped. And yeah, the Oilers did not seem as prepared to do it again. That's the hard part, doing that first period again.
They do, like, you know, you talk about the first game of a series in another person's building, and you talk about surviving the storm or whatever. And I don't necessarily think they survived the first period. You're down two, that building was rocking. But for them to rally and come back, it just says a ton about them. But man, that building.
Like, that building was unbelievable. Oilers fans.
Fire. Okay. And they were chanting go, like they really were trying go Oilers go. And it really felt like even when they're down in the third period after that backbreaking goal goes in, Robertson off the butt of Skinner, they were trying their best. But man, was that building rocking.
Yeah.
Loved it.
It's funny, you know, we do our Leaf show all year long and I'm watching that game going, you know, Jason Robertson had 29 goals this year, which is a pretty big fall off.
Yeah, it was 40 last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eddie O's here, but I had my questions about Robertson, then he shot it in the net three times. That's what Robertsons do.
Hintz makes big, difference
okay,
for him.
Okay, let's welcome him in. Friend of the show, been there all season for us and continues that in the Stanley Cup playoff. Eddie O! Just give me a chance! Give me a chance! That's all Dallas wanted after the first period last night, Eddie. Just give him a chance.
Happy anniversary, Kipper. We're approaching 30 years, man.
Wow.
Why do you want to make me feel old right now?
You guys both look great.
Oh, thanks, Barney. How you guys doing? All right. Hey, you want me to make you feel really old? Like, I have two grandkids, right?
Yes.
My granddaughter Audrey Marie will be four coming up on July 7th, and then my namesake, the fourth Eddie Olczyk, my grandson will be two or three. No, he'll be three on September 9th. So he's a 9-9. So I got a 9-9. And a 7-7. My wife's a 4-4 birthday. But what I'm trying to tell you is that I just found out I'm going to have another grandchild in early December, and we have one on the way in July. So I will go from 2 to 4.
The old Czech Empire.
Grandpa, oh,
that's outstanding news. Congratulations on that, Edzo.
Hey, good to be with you guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, listen, in terms of, Jekyll and Hyde, we were just talking about the comparison to a boxer coming out and trying to win a fight in the first few rounds and not leaving much if it goes into the later rounds here. What is the number one thing for you watching the Edmonton Oilers go from that first to second period? Is it X's and O's? Is it effort? Is it energy? Where is lost in translation here?
Last night obviously was a complete turn from period one. I mean, almost seemed like it was a different movie or a different game or however you want to describe it, Kipper. I actually liked the way that they played in the second period in game two. Back in Dallas, they made a lot of good, simple plays. Yeah, they gave up a couple of chances, but they just really, is it more Dallas getting to their game or was it, Edmonton? I think the effort's there and the will and the want to is there, but just sometimes, the execution isn't. But I thought in particular last night, Dallas played the way that I expected them to play in this series. And, for a lot of this series, they've been trying to find their game. They had an unbelievable third period in game two, and we know with the second period that they had last night. So I think from the Edmonton point of view, I think the one combination that has been very noticeable to me that hasn't been working at even strength, you go back to game two, period three in Dallas, and then last night when they went to the big boys, they went to Drysdale and McDavid for, I won't say the last little while of the second period, but pretty much all of the third period. Right now they're fighting it. They're just not generating a whole heck of a lot. So is the ultimate answer to go ahead and keep them apart and make it much more difficult for Dallas to, to check, those guys on separate lines? Because right now, and we know how awesome that they are and how they can be, but right now at 5-on-5, that combination is not working. And I think Dallas is really enjoying enjoying that because they haven't been able to really generate a lot at 5-on-5. Power play, we know they had some, they had some decent looks last night, but that would be interesting is what is the adjustment now? Both teams got big guys back last night. I'm sure as you guys will and have talked about getting Henrik and Hintz back for their respective teams. But I think for Edmonton, the second period is, you came out and you laid it on the line in the first period, and it took you a while to kind of get your game back late in that second period to give yourself a chance to get back even and get to the third period.
Eddie, after the game, Stuart Skinner in his comments said, I just can't give up four to Dallas as good as they are defensively. Just he knows how hard it is for his team to score goals. Skinner has been good for a while now. I think it's been four or five games at least where he's been very good. And people have off nights. And he even defended his game last night a little bit, saying that he didn't think he played that poorly. The fourth one, he kind of got tricked a little bit or whatever. But it does feel like the second he has a bad game, we're doing the, should they play him? Do you trust him? Where is Edmonton with their goaltending?
Well, I respect the way that he handled everything. And some of his comments to me, speaks of a leader inside that locker room. If it wasn't for him, it was 6-2 after two periods.
Yeah.
I mean, with the chances at 3-2, Skinner stopped Marchman on a breakaway. The defense had, you know, they didn't recognize the, you know, the long change, and Marchman goes in there. He makes forehand back in, and Skinner makes a tremendous save. He stops Johnson on a shot from about 35 feet out. Johnson got the puck in the middle of the ice. He got himself to the right top of the circle, and he shot back the other way, and Skinner was able to fight it off. I mean, right there, I mean, you say the way the game was going, they get one of those there, you get two goals up. I mean, the game's, I don't say it's over, because you saw the first period and you wonder, where in the hell did that go? So, I mean, you're never out of it, and especially with Connor and Leon. But I thought the guy played really well. He stopped Duchesne later in that second period on a great chance. I thought Duchesne had an under-radar type of game last night. I thought Matt Duchesne was very, very good in that game. And then in the third period, remember, Duchesne got the chance where he cut in and he just wasn't able to elevate the puck over the pad. So, the hat trick goal for Robertson. Yeah, you don't like to see that goal go in. But let's give a little props to Robertson for, A, having the patience to hold on to that puck and wait and go, you know what, at some point here, I think he's going to bend. And then, you know what, and then I think he's going to break. Because the way the play developed is that he was there by himself. And all of a sudden it was like, okay, you know, and I'm going to look at my Rolex here. Okay, I got, okay. And then all of a sudden the hole opened up and he put it in there. That's what goal scorers do. So look, to me, there's no question. I would be absolutely shocked if Stuart Skinner isn't in goal for this game. Like I would not, I like the way the guy played. Some of the goals that, you know, he didn't have a chance. The first Robertson goal, the turnover, Bouchard standing, you know, he was in the sight line. I don't think there was any doubt that he screened him. And unfortunately, it was just a timing play. So, Barney long-winded. I would not have, I mean, I would not play. I would not have a problem with going back to, you know, to Stuart Skinner. I would be shocked if he didn't play tomorrow night.
We're talking to Ed Olchuk, hockey analyst, TNT.
Don't call me Ed, Kipper. Do not call me Ed.
Eddie O. Edzo. Don't call him Ed.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, good to know.
Don't ever make that mistake.
All right.
Well, then why did you do that? That's another minus for you. Why would you call me Ed on the show? Why would you do that?
Because I just wanted to see if you'd
let me just say this. Sammy would never call me Ed. I know.
I just wanted to see if you would yell at me like you did 30 years ago for calling you Ed. And the answer is yes, you would.
Hey, you know what? Don't call my grandson Ed.
I won't.
Really,
I won't. I won't. 1994 Stanley Cup champion and soon to be great grandfather in about what, 16, 18 years, 20 years?
Oh, what time out here? Hold on a second.
I don't know. I'm just forecasting here.
Let me just be a grandfather here for the last little while.
Okay. All right. Listen, I just want to touch one more thing on goaltending. Edzo, and
yes.
Just listen, I'm with you. I wouldn't make a goaltending change in Edmonton. Like the pros outweigh the cons, but the con is watching something go in where you go, that can't go in. And how do you weigh that to us even 20 or 30 years ago with us being on a bench and just kind of shaking our eyes on a goal that goes, you know, below the goal line, finds a way to get in? What are the psychological damages of moving forward, knowing that a goalie could let in a soft one at any moment, you know, today compared to 20 or 30 years ago with us?
How would I handle that right now? I would say, you know what, if it wasn't for that guy, we would have been down 6-2 after two periods. So you know what? The guy saved our ass for two periods, or the second period, okay? Like, that's how I would handle it. I would sit there and go out there and I would say, you know what? Yeah, he gave up a bad one. But you know what? It could have been 6-2 and the game was over. So we've all been there. You want your goaltender to make the routine save 100% of the time. We understand that. But he made a couple of saves in that game. Yeah. And the pucks that went in, you sit there and go, wow, that's a goal scorer's goal there. And, you know, he had the mad scramble and Robertson finds the backhand. And you had Dallas in the blue paint, and there was all kinds of havoc, and he only could put it in one place, and he beat the goaltender. So That's how I would handle it. If I'm a leader or a veteran guy inside that locker room, Kipper, that's what we would have done. If Ricky Rod would have ever given Mike Richter or Glenn Healy would ever given up a soft goal, more heels would give up a soft goal than Ricky Rod. We would stand up and go, yeah, well, you know what? We probably would have lost that game earlier if it wasn't for the guy in goal. So, I don't know if, sometimes you see guys do it now, but if there was ever a time right now, this would be the time to try to build that guy up as big as you can. And the guy's done well since he's come back into the, come back into the playoff end of the round two against Vancouver. And then the first, three games here in the series with Dallas.
And so how does Roope Hintz change this series?
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, Borny, when you look at his, his skill level, I mean, you get another centerman, and Pete DeBoer has talked about his, being the number one center and, power play and penalty kill and matchups and faceoffs. And then also his size. I mean, he's got, he has the ability to go sideways too a little bit. Like he can punish some people when he decides to do that. But the one thing that he does really as well is any player in the National Hockey League, and I'm talking about forwards, is that he is an unbelievable puck pursuer. And when the other team does get possession of the puck, he just has that unbelievable ability to put that puck carrier into a position where maybe he had a couple of options. But when Roope Hintz angles and he has a great stick and he can get on top of you right away, all of a sudden you have zero options. And that's the one thing that separates him from a lot of players. And when you can add a guy like that with all the other accolades and know how important he is, and obviously the chemistry with Jason Robertson, he's a tremendous puck pursuer. And then on the power play, he can retrieve pucks, right? Like that's an important part of it. Yeah. I hear you talk about it a lot, Borny, when you talk about the numbers of when there are loose pucks on a power play and all of a sudden there's like, who's going to get to that puck? Well, when you have the ability, like a guy like Roope Hintz, he's able to do that. The one guy that sticks out to me as being as great as a puck pursuer that I ever played with or against or watched as a broadcaster here, I feel like Marian Hossa was like he would be on the cover of that book. Mm-hmm. Marian Hossa would force turnovers on guys more than I had ever seen any other player. And Roope Hintz has a lot of those tendencies. Look, I'm not comparing him to Marian Hossa, but he's certainly in that ballpark when he just has the ability to be able to angle and force turnovers, whether it's right there on the spot or the guy's only got one play and it's off the glass into the neutral zone, and then your team's able to, maybe turn back and go the other way. So I would say, Borny, long-winded again, I would say that that's the area for me that he really makes the greatest difference. And maybe that doesn't come up on a score sheet or doesn't come up on maybe on certain numbers, but I think everybody knows how important he can be because of that incredible speed and hockey sense that, to put guys in bad spots.
And so you played in a Canadian market on a couple occasions here, so nothing new to you to tell
I played
you.
I played in Toronto for 3.5 years, and I played in the Peg for almost 6, to be exact, Kipper. I know you didn't have that at the top of your at the tip of your tongue, but yeah, almost 9. That's 9, Kipper. I'm not sure the math.
Half
that
you, your career. Half okay? Your career. So you know something a little bit about being highly paid and at times feeling the heat.
You lost me there on the highly paid thing. Borny, give him a clap.
He's okay. Out of reach, Edzo. Okay. I can't.
You know what it's like to have pressure on you to perform. Yes. We saw it with Petey in Vancouver. We saw it with the likes of Marner in Toronto. And to a lesser extent here now, we see it with Darnell Nurse. Not because people expect Darnell to turn around and win series by himself, but he is paid over $9 million a year. And it just seems when you don't win or you don't produce, that's the first thing that comes up is the production of your highest paid players. And right now he went -2 last night. He was on for the game-winning goal. He is taking some heat in Edmonton. Where are you with Darnell Nurse and his play, and is it warranted right now?
I mean, look, the contract is the contract, right? I mean, the timing is everything. And he had the, I think it was right after the bubble, if I'm not mistaken. Don't quote me, but I mean, in that area where he had a big year and they decided to give him a long-term contract, and look at, and good for him. Look, I don't mind how, and again, I'm not avoiding Darnell Nurse, but for the most part, and I've, done now this series and obviously watched a lot, but then I also did game five in round two for the Vancouver series. And that was a game where, the Oilers just didn't have their legs in that game. Nobody had their legs, and Vancouver pretty much dominated in that game. But I think, look, I actually have liked the way that he's played. I mean, he's been an important part on their penalty kill, is he not? I mean, he's done, he's done some good things there. Now, if you're starting to compare the salary to the impact on the ice or whatever, it's just the world that we live in, right? So, I feel for the guy, but it is a team game. And I think that he's been an important reason why the Oilers have had the year that they've had. They go on an incredible run, and, he's had a couple of different partners here recently, from the, obviously during, when the coaching change happened and now into the playoffs. So look at, do you want more? Yeah, 100%. Would you like to see him be a little bit more offensive? But I think right now, if you're the Oilers, you're within three games of going to the Stanley Cup final. You just want him to be solid defensively, right? I think that's what you want. Have I seen glaring mistakes? Yeah, every once in a while. I mean, the reads aren't great sometimes, but look at every player has, most players have blemishes, some more than others, but the pressure comes, it comes with the territory. And you're right. I mean, I was just, you're kidding around, Kipper, about the, highly paid part, right? I mean, like when you are the guy, doesn't matter what era it is or how much money the fans and your team and the management are expecting you to raise your level. And when you don't, there's going to be that heat. And again, we know for these players, and look, not just for players, it's the world we live in now. There's pressure on everybody. It doesn't matter if you're an athlete or not. And I think for a guy like Darnell Nurse, is just be good defensively. Don't worry about the points. Is he ever going to live up to the contract? I hope he does. I mean, again, no, who's judging that? But, I haven't mind the way that he's played, to be honest with you. Numbers are what they are. And, hopefully he can, he can help the Oilers to the best of his ability.
That's why it's nice, Edzo, that Kipper soaks up 80% of our show's cap hit. Far less pressure on me. I just do my job. He takes the heat when we're failing. It's a great spot to be in. useful or useless on this stat here for you. In the 2024 Stanley Cup playoffs, home teams are 33-42. They are minus 10. They've blown 23 leads. What is going on with home teams in the playoffs? Does it mean anything, or random statistical thing?
I mean, I guess it's been a while since it's been like this, right, Borny? I mean, is that get a?
That's the lowest since 1966.
Okay. So, I'd like to think it's in a cycle. I think that it's, maybe we'll have a year where the home team ends up, really doing well. But I think the easy answer would be is that every building's the same, and sometimes, or for the most part, you just kind of feel a little bit more comfortable. There's not as much pressure playing at on the road as there is at home. And, I don't know about the, the distractions and everything else that goes with it. But a team like I mentioned last night on our TNT broadcast down in the States. I mean, the Dallas Stars took on the Colorado Avalanche, right? The best road team in the National Hockey League record-wise were the Dallas Stars. The best home team in the National Hockey League were the Colorado Avalanche. Dallas won three of the four games in that series in Colorado.
Yeah.
So they're very, very comfortable on the road and the way they play, and they're a four line team. And you got, they played five defensemen for the most part until later in that series where Petrovic came in and done a nice job. I mean, Lundqvist, the poor kid wasn't playing more than 4.5 minutes, and, they were playing with five guys. But I don't think there's any, I really don't think that there's any answers specifically, but I do go back to just, it's not like it used to be in the old days where you'd have certain buildings that had you know, tendencies and different dimensions and very intimidating and what have you. I think now players are pretty comfortable going in any building and they feel that they can win in any situation. I would still want, even with the numbers though, Borny, you gave out, I'd be interested in what you guys think. I would still want game seven in my building.
Oh yeah.
If, you know, if you had that opportunity to move on in the playoffs.
Edzo, you mentioned 30 years anniversary here. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the Rangers and the Panthers series. And first and foremost, all these comparables to the year we won with this team today, led by OJ's name being in the media all over again. And all I can remember is I think Heels grabbing one of my dress socks and pouring ketchup on it and trying to hunt down a bloody sock in our dressing room. It was ridiculous. But what do you make of it? What do you make of all the comparables, like the Knicks and winning the President's Trophy and yada, yada, yada?
Yeah, as long as we don't have another Bronco chase somewhere, I think I'll be okay with it. All due respect, obviously, with the seriousness of what happened. But if people, I mean, if you remember, I mean, June 17th, 1994, is, you know, we had our parade in New York City. And Borny, I don't know if you know this story, but so I had my two oldest boys were born at that time. They were very young. But on June 17th, 1994 was our parade.
Yeah.
And halfway through the parade, it was like 1,000 degrees out. You know, we had our sweaters on. We had shorts on, flip-flops. Halfway through, my oldest son, Eddie, is tugging on my shorts on the float. And I'm like, yeah, Eddie, what's going on? And he goes, Dad, thanks for inviting all these people to my birthday party. It was his fifth birthday.
That's really great.
It was his fifth birthday. So I'm like, hey, I said, Eddie, my son. It's going to be a big disappointment moving forward.
Yeah, I set the bar really high.
Three million people coming to his birthday party. But anyways, I've been asked this question too, Kipper and Borny. And it's always great to be with you guys. You know, how do you think your team would do? You know, I mean, like, I think it's great banter because you hear about it. You know, like, if Gretz and Mario played in today's game, they would both get 200 plus points every year. Let me make that perfectly clear. Yeah. Okay. Like that's how awesome that they were and are and will always be. That's just one man's opinion. But Kipper, if our team played this Ranger team, people want to know. And look, we live in a PC world and, you know, we got to be respectful and whatever. All I will say is that the series would be competitive. That's all I'm going to say. It would be competitive.
You guys would kill them.
Barney, you know.
For you guys, you know. Prime, your team would kill this Rangers team. Not even close. This Rangers team's not even that good. You guys both Rangers,
guys are
so you have to
up.
Say
I can't hear, if you say we win in three games.
Yeah, I am saying that.
Is Florida shaking their heads? Edzo going, how are we down 2-1 right now?
But this is the way that this Ranger team has had success. I mean, they seem to relish when they get down in games, or maybe they are getting outplayed. Like, I thought game three was game three. Sorry, I'm getting all confused. I thought game three, from what I saw, and then I watched, obviously, after the fact, because we all had tough travel days trying to get from Dallas to Edmonton. But I just kind of feel like they're bending, but they're not snapping, and they feel comfortable. I mean, go back to Carolina series, right? It looked like they were, oh my gosh, here we go, on game seven, and it was all over, and all of a sudden they catch fire. Now, at some point, you know, it's going to catch up to you, especially at this time of year, but they just have that DNA, and it's unbelievable. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out, and obviously a gigantic game. But if you're Florida, you're comfortable. I don't think that they're, you know, that they're worried, or they need to finish off some of their chances. And when you get separation, you got to really get separation and make this make this a best of three here moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Awesome stuff, Edzo, as always, man. Great having you on the show.
Anytime. See you, boys.
Appreciate it, Edzo. Thanks.
That is Eddie Olchuk, hockey analyst, TNT, and one of my favorites.
What a guy.
What a guy.
He really held your feet to the fire today,
too. Oh, he sure did.
Yeah. I was going to ask him how much
anybody
he made
can really
Winnipeg,
do that but from that team, because I was like absolutely the bottom of the totem pole. Well, I was just riding coattails.
I was two leagues below, so I'm just happy to be here.
Game time.
All right, let her rip, Sammy.
It's Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app, latest odds, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Just checking in on the Conn Smythe Trophy since we haven't talked in a while. The favorite for the Conn Smythe Trophy is...
Connor.
Nope.
So probably Shesterkin. Dallas nope. guy, Ottinger.
Ottinger, correct. Ottinger is the favorite at plus 350.
Wow.
Igor Shesterkin is the next favorite at plus 375. Connor plus 1200.
I still think he's kind of, for me, hot and cold.
Yeah. You know, the Hyman goal was a game two where he just kind of bullied at five holes. Not a good goal.
Not a good goal.
No. He is, to me, agreed that hot, like, I wouldn't fully trust him.
Like, if he ever, like, hits the switch and just shuts it down.
He can win games single-handed.
It's over.
Yeah.
And I'm just looking down the list here. I was trying to find Zach Hyman. Zach Hyman is now 100-1 to win the Conn Smythe.
100-1.
Yes, plus 10,000.
God, that's
he could get through this series, he could score 17, 20 goals. He could end up with 20 goals in the playoffs.
The problem is Connor McDavid bounces them off of him into the net, so he's going to have just as many points, and he's the best player on the team, and it's like, you know, it's kind of. A little bit of an achievement award.
But I mean, let's say a couple of them are OT winners. It's different.
And a name I really like and a guy I just have been blown away watching Dallas is Miro Heiskanen. Been unbelievable for them. Was so good again last night. He's 10-1, which I think is a really interesting number because sometimes, you know, the defensive guy ends up winning it and he's been lighting it up. So love Miro Heiskanen at 10-1 as well. And just looking at the game for tonight, the Rangers obviously in Florida to take on the Panthers in game four of that series. Rangers, huge underdogs tonight, plus 140.
Oh, that shocked me.
Minus 165 for Florida. Go ahead, Bernie.
Can you check cup odds for the four teams remaining?
I'm wondering
with Florida down and Edmonton down, two teams who you got to like, Florida in particular.
So Florida is plus 375.
To win the cup.
To win the cup. Edmonton Oilers, the longest shot at plus 400. Dallas are the favorite, plus 150. New York Rangers, plus 160. So there you go. That was the those are the odds for the cup winner. That was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into some NHL news and notes, including coaching vacancies that are now filled.
Mm-hmm.
That just leaves one to go. Quickly, which team?
God, I don't know. L.A., Columbus, what do we got? I don't know.
I'll tell you.
I don't know
after
either.
The break. Also,
too long.
Also, a Kachuk's name has made the news, and it's not the one playing in a conference final.
Oh, no.
Ooh la la.
We'll get into that and more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. As a reminder, this hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. So, just before the break, I mentioned coaching vacancies getting filled up, which leaves us with one left, and you guys had a complete blank look on your face, like
brain fart.
I haven't got a clue.
Seattle filled, New Jersey filled, Columbus need to coach, LA filled, Toronto filled. Who are we missing?
Oh my God, Gibber, just tell us.
Please. San Jose.
Oh, duh. Yeah.
They're not in the league, though. They got relegated. You didn't hear? They called up Syracuse.
Yeah. Yeah. The Milwaukee Admirals now in the NHL. Yeah,
it should be.
If they did hire anybody, how would we know?
Yeah. If a coach gets hired in San Jose, does it make a sound? Who's up for that job?
Did you guys see Sheldon today? Did you hear anything?
No.
I watched it.
You watched it?
Most of it,
How'd you come across? Okay.
Yeah, good. The sound. Tom Fitzgerald seemed extremely excited to have him. Like, the second he was out, he called to get Sheldon, and he was surprised at, you know, how great a fit they were going to be, and he was honored. He even took his call. He was over the moon.
Wow.
We haven't talked a lot of Leafs in the last little bit, but I haven't had a chance to talk to you about this, with you guys, but trust tree time?
Yeah.
Hate how quick he got hired.
Why?
What isn't going to work here? Clearly, I understand that. The time had come. But you just, maybe 6 months, a year, until the guy that you fire gets hired, not a week later, not talking to him the night he gets fired. Like, it just, to me.
So your fear is they let go a very good coach?
Yeah, that it's going to go there, it's going to work. That they're going to go, he's going to go there, and they're going to be really good, potentially one of the better teams in the league if they get a goalie, everybody healthy, and it's going to be huge conversations with
if they need
the Leafs screwed up and all this stuff. Like, it's going to be, it's just another thing setting up for the Leaf fans to be absolute punching bag. That's what this is setting up for, Kipper. I can feel it. When they beat the Leafs, when the Leafs are the 8 seed next year and they win the President's Trophy and the Leafs lose in the first round to Sheldon Keefe, and everybody gets to dunk all over poor Leaf fans again.
Listen.
I can't wait.
Poor Leaf fans.
I need to do two things this summer. Relax and find you a good therapist.
I have to find you someone that you can talk to.
Because your Leaf fears run well beyond what is like normal behavior.
They are a stacked roster if they get a goalie. And I feel like that's going to be a priority.
If
they tried
there
already.
Was a lake, you know, somewhere, we'd all be fishing. Okay,
what coach? Who has more points next year?
What coach can't say if I get a goalie, if I get a good power play guy, if I get a top scorer, I'm not going to the next level here.
In AA, they say you don't want to create the wreckage of the future. You know, you don't want to let it in your head. And Sammy just has like absolute Titanic level wrecks all over his future.
Can you take him to one of those meetings and say, okay, he's not an alcoholic, but everything else applies.
Okay,
it's just therapy.
Who has more points next year, Devils or Leafs?
I'm going to take the team that was ahead by 20-some points this year and isn't losing many. Okay. Well, we'll see what happens.
Okay.
As we know, Sheldon's... Okay, want to play a clip from Sheldon?
Let's have a little quick... The second clip there, Derek, the why it's a good fit.
Giving me the things that I needed, which is to say that you want the players to be taken care of. And I think... from a sports science perspective, I think that the players are very well covered and taken care of here. It gives me a great resource to lean on to be able to maximize the potential of the players on a daily basis. Then also the analytics team and the way that it's set up to give me the information that I need to be able to help us make hockey decisions on a daily basis and live and in real time. So those resources are important to me.
Okay, I find that really interesting about the analytics part.
So do I.
It's like, are they helping you or are they telling you what to do? Because we do know of some instances where the analytics basically run the hockey club.
Well, you know, I think he has more experience in dealing with an analytics department that's important to an organization than most coaches. I think the Devils want to be that and want to make it important. I think it was important here. You hope if you're the Devils fans that he's learned what's important and what isn't, but sure. The way I understand it, the Devils could probably use some of that information, some more than information trickling through to the players.
Yeah.
So I was just going to say, unlike you, I feel like Sheldon has proven himself over a regular season.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if the Devils make the playoffs next year, that in itself is a huge accomplishment for them.
And they will.
81 points this season. This is your Ottawa Senators line all the time. Everyone gets all excited about offseason moves. And you're like, could you get to 90 points before we...
Not this year, but last year, they were really good. And they beat the Rangers in a playoff series.
Yeah.
Like, they had an excellent year. They had a ton of brutal injuries. They couldn't get a save this year.
Couldn't get a save. Dougie Hamilton's out.
Yeah, I think... Like, I really do think that they're... You know, Jack Hughes missed a long stretch of time. Like, I do... It's just setting up bad for Leaf fans is all I'm saying. I'm just, my spidey senses are tinkling. Speaking of the Leaf fans.
The Metro's not that good.
I haven't talked to either of you guys about this either. I mean, we haven't talked in a while. Marner and Berube having coffee together. You guys see that little picture floating around?
Did see the picture.
First of all, can anybody have a coffee without... I think you
took that picture.
No, I would never. I would never take that picture. I'm not that guy. I would never take that picture. I swear I would not.
How do you do it? Sketching a courtroom.
What do you do? You just kind of like angry.
Pretend you're taking a selfie yourself. take it the other way.
Isn't there a law against it? Are you allowed to take people?
I don't think so, man.
I guess in public places you're allowed.
It's in bad taste.
It's definitely in bad taste. And I saw that other picture of
it's the bathroom I'm thinking of. Can't take one in the bathroom. Know,
that's for sure. But I saw Shanny and Treliving and another like hot in the streets right now. Lunch pictures. It's like, yeah, the three guys who are on the lease are having dinner together. Like, why do we need a picture of this? I think it's the stupidest thing ever. But
it caused a wildfire on social media.
But like, it did. No argument there. But it's like the new coach is talking to the players.
Oh, and then everybody wants to read the body language, okay, too, with the crossed arms, right?
This is not a hockey play.
It's definitively not a hockey play.
And there's people that are actually, like, breaking this picture down.
Yeah.
Like they don't do that. Like, they can read the words accountability somewhere. it's a farce. Unity, it's just a
chemistry,
joke.
Chemistry, great skill.
So let me ask you this. What were they saying?
But I think they're trying to learn each other, what they're about, get on the same page. What do you think has happened here? What do you want to happen next?
We had Craig Berube on our show the day he got hired, and he said that he met with Marner at the facility, had a good conversation. They're meeting again. Would you be meeting with a guy who's out the door multiple times over your first 2 weeks in Toronto?
I don't think it's Craig Berube's job to worry about that. He's trying to put together a winning hockey team, and he's on the team until he's not, right?
That's not for today.
I totally agree with you.
All right.
There's a process that he goes through, and no one's excluded because their contract runs out in 2 months, 3 months, or 12 months.
It is a way more than 50% chance that Mitch Marner is on the opening day roster than not.
Mm.
It's tough to trade a prime age player in a salary cap world. It's not impossible that this happens. And I don't know, maybe they like each other. Don't shoot the messenger.
Maybe it's easier to trade the captain of the fourth place team for Canada in the offseason.
I think there's a lot of options right now, for sure. And it's not that we get the sense that they're shopping Mitch heavily, but you will take conversations, and outside of Matthews and Nylander, I would imagine any name could be drawn up in a conversation, and where
I'm listening
from there is anyone's guess.
Stay tuned.
But
next,
how's Sammy and his Leaf Nation going to feel about that?
I've been on the record multiple times with this, that I just, you know, talking about things that are going to make Leaf Nation mad. A year from now, all the people that were screaming from the rooftops, trade Mitch Marner. Gotta trade him. Canada. And when he's going on to the third round with the Nashville Predators lighting it up, everyone's like, how could you trade Mitch Marner?
I've made a huge mistake.
Like, it's just, there's nothing that's ever been more
they
guaranteed.
They get knocked out again in the first round.
For sure. That is absolutely in play, and the vitriol towards them is even more. And I understand it. I clearly do. But there is going to be a lot of regret in this city when they trade him, and it's not the right package, and you look back on it, and it's looked upon as one of, like, the darker days. I know how these things go.
I can't shake the Teoscar, Lourdes Gurriel comparisons. I can't shake it. Where you're like, we can't get over the hump because we're not scoring. What if we got rid of our offense?
Yeah.
And see what it looks like then.
Less fun.
And then it's like, oh no, this is awful.
this is even worse.
This is so much worse.
Yeah.
You know,
I like watching Dalton Varsho pop out to
have a little
no way.
Yeah.
Okay. A couple of other news and notes. Scott Arneil gets hired. No real surprise there. Winnipeg is not a team that we thought would run with the big boys to go get, for instance, a Craig Berube.
Mm-hmm.
Berube, we don't really know what his salary is, but I got to think it's in the $4 million range, which
now that they got
a lot of
Keefe's
teams don't want to go there.
Off the books. Keefe's salary is gone. So that helps them, right? Frees them up to pay Berube whatever that number is.
I think they were free anyways. That's how much money that they make.
Sure. But I'm sure it's nice to not have to pay it.
Yeah.
Less hesitation when you're not paying two salaries.
I think, for the most part, like, I don't know. How do you guys feel about associate coaches moving in? Because sometimes there's that.
Well, I hate it, Nick.
You do.
I do.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. If you were on the bench.
I love your take on this. Go ahead.
It's not that complicated. If you had the solutions, we could have used them last year.
But I think, isn't it different though when the guy retires as opposed to is fired?
Well,
then
what you're doing is keeping the same staff.
Exactly. Like, you liked what they were with bonus.
Totally.
and it's maybe a little bit different if he retires.
Sometimes that comfort can work against you.
Sure, I agree. It's good to have that newness, the fear of players that they need to make a new first impression on a guy. I don't know, unless he's going to reinvent something or himself in some way. To me, nothing has changed there. Winnipeg has the same coach, except one that's less recognizable to the public.
All right, before the break, we mentioned the name Tkachuk. It didn't have to do with Matthew in Florida, but rather Brady in Ottawa. And Stamkos needing to swat down rumors about a potential Brady Tkachuk trade. Do you see where there's smoke, there's fire here?
So it was a Jeremy Rutherford, I think you said in an interview that like he had heard that the name was out there or something like that.
I think Ryan Whitney also mentioned it before the trade deadline as a potential.
Here's my honest opinion of where this is at. I think that Tkachuk is probably not happy being on a team that is struggling and losing, and he's super competitive. You watch him this season be super competitive, and he's not happy that it's not happening at the pace he would like. But there's no planet where this happens, barring him saying, I'm not playing unless you do it. Because the Ottawa Senators, this guy is irreplaceable for them. He's near my top of the NHL in trade value guys, like who you would want to have while you're trying to build a cup winner. They're not trading. They're not trading him, barring him saying you have to or I won't play.
Tkachuk for Marner.
What team would do? Who would do that? The Leafs would do it, I think, but I don't think.
Of course the Leafs would do it and lock into, what's he make? Eight.
Eight for
he's
eight.
Captain, he's, you know, younger.
Like, who wouldn't want to lock in at eight for that?
Yep.
Listen, the thought of Marner for anybody right now has to kind of be curtailed.
I was joking.
Because
but other people are saying that. I've heard that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, he's 12 months away from being a UFA. Mm-hmm. So keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'd have to do that.
Someone's getting him potentially for free here if they wait 12 months. As far as Brady Tkachuk goes, I think that there's also a level of frustration with his development as a leader and a captain here.
Within Ottawa. Oh, yeah.
And
I did get, wasn't there some Giroux and Tkachuk, not besties?
Maybe. And that brings me to my next point is that, you know, you got a team with all these young players who have gotten a lot of money very quickly. And when you look around the room, when it comes to a real veteran presence, you have to go right up to Giroux.
Yeah.
Like there is nobody else in that room.
Yeah.
With some real veteran savvy. And this is where the Ottawa Senators have to come in this summer and find someone in between the really young guys and someone between Claude Giroux.
Yeah.
And they need
a couple of 28-year-olds wouldn't kill them.
Would be great.
Yeah.
With some leadership qualities.
Yeah.
That's their answer to helping Brady Tkachuk.
And Pinto and Batherson and Greg and all these young guys that are making up their team.
You may have to trade
Sanderson.
You may have to trade Chychrun to get those guys.
An actual trade to bring in established guys.
Yes.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we've talked about their handedness situation on the back end and three very good left defensemen. But
when you're watching Matthew Tkachuk do Matthew Tkachuk things for the last two playoff springs and you think Brady is bigger and stronger, why would you ever contemplate trading this guy?
Don't ask me who I would trade for Brady Tkachuk to have my team, because I tell you, Leafs fans would not like my answer.
Honestly, Tkachuk is...
Would you go 34?
Oh, no.
Would you go 34? Would you trade Matthews in a deal with Brady Tkachuk?
You would not. No, you wouldn't.
Listen, I just would have to think about it.
No, buddy.
You have a meeting.
I'm with him.
You have a meeting.
I'm with him.
No, you're crazy.
I'd be like, could you attach a pick with him?
I think there's a package involved there. I do.
You guys are nuts.
I think there's a package involved there.
You guys are nuts.
Funny, that guy's a menace.
Yeah, he's great.
Built for the hockey we're watching right now.
He's very good. He's very good.
I wouldn't do it.
Sammy.
Yeah,
there's great regular season players. And there's great playoff.
How many playoff games has Brady Tkachuk played in?
Less than Matthews, that's for sure.
Doesn't mean you can't turn
zero.
Into one.
All right.
Like I said, the fastest hour in hockey right here on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Our thanks to Eddie Olchuk. Don't ever, ever think about calling him Ed.
Edward, okay?
No.
Oh.
I think that'll get you a punch in the head.
Okay, good to know.
All right, enjoy the Eastern Conference final tonight as the Rangers battle the Florida Panthers. Must win for Florida?
No, Florida's going to win.
All right. Enjoy the game tonight. We're back tomorrow.